The Orlando Magic season is quickly coming to a close, but the team is still fighting and scratching and clawing and preparing for their future. Why the Orlando Magic are not just playing for this year's play-in chase, but for something much more. It's time for Locked On Magic.
You are Locked On Magic, your daily Orlando Magic podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are indeed Locked On Magic. Today is March 27th, 2023. My name is Philip Rossman-Reich. I'm the expert and site editor over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Of course, follow me on Twitter at PhilipRR_OMD. On today's episode of Locked On Magic, the Orlando Magic show that they're playing to a higher standard. Not just about this year, not just about the here and now. It's about something much greater. We'll get into that coming up here. Just won't. But first, we want to thank you again for making Locked On Magic part of your day every day, no matter when you listen to us, whether it's first thing in the morning, whether it's right when we upload. We truly appreciate you making Locked On Magic part of your day every day. Remember, there's a great Locked On podcast covering every single team in the NBA. Just search for Locked On and the team you're looking for, the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. Today's podcast is also brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. Check out Prize Picks today to see daily fantasy done differently. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for a special bonus at sign up. Check it out today at prizepicks.com. So the Orlando Magic weren't playing terribly against the Brooklyn Nets. They weren't doing anything particularly wrong. They weren't struggling. They weren't even losing by that much. But you could see hints of trouble. Some turnovers, obviously, offensive rebounds, especially. And it just didn't really feel like, you know, the Magic, they know their offense probably isn't sustainable. And so they knew they needed to defend better. They knew they needed to kind of lock themselves down. And I was watching a game on the Bally Sports Florida broadcast, was not able to go to the game. And during a timeout in the second quarter, Dante Marcatelli, good friend of the show, reported that Jamal Mosley kind of lit into his team. That he kind of told them, hey, we got to cut out the turnovers. We got to lock down the glass to win this game. And again, the Magic didn't really trail much in this game. What turned out to be a 119-106 win over the Brooklyn Nets. The Magic didn't trail much in this game. They didn't find themselves down by much. They weren't playing poorly. It was just you could see cracks a little bit. And it was just like, how do we fix these before it gets real bad? But I heard this statement, and it was kind of, I think not that we don't know that this doesn't happen, but kind of the first time, at least in a very public way, that we've heard Jamal Mosley really challenge his team, really kind of step his team up and really kind of say, hey, we've got to do this better. I'm not playing the score. I'm playing the standard. I'm playing to what I know you guys are capable of. It's been a year of development. It's been a year of growth. It's been a year of managing that progress and keeping guys learning lessons. This was really the first time where it felt like, or at least publicly at least, it felt like the coach was saying, I know you can play better than this. I don't care that you're leading. Be better. That's what winning teams do. I remember back in the Stan Van Gundy days, 2010 and 2011 season especially, people would complain to me after wins because I'd be so frustrated, be like, man, that they won. You got to be cool. It's like, it doesn't matter that they won. We know that they're going to have to do XYZ better if they're going to win a championship. This Magic team's obviously not at that level yet, but it's the same idea. You're not playing the score. You are playing to the standard. You are playing to a standard of excellence, an expectation of how you're going to perform and what you're going to be about. That is who you are playing to, especially in a long regular season where there are wild ups and downs, where you have to bring the same intensity every night or find that intensity somewhere. You're always playing to a standard. And as always, you do the process, it takes care of the results. Now, who's to say that Jamal Mosley doesn't do this regularly at timeouts? Who's to say Jamal Mosley doesn't do this regularly in the locker room at halftime? Who's to say Jamal Mosley doesn't do this regularly in film sessions, in practices? It's not that this challenge was so unique. It was that it was kind of made public. And shows us the Magic are expecting more of themselves much quicker than perhaps we thought. That the Magic do believe they are capable of doing more. And better yet, the Magic showed that they took on that challenge, perhaps imperfectly, perhaps with still some things to clean up. They are a young team that doesn't know how to do this yet. But the Magic took that lesson to heart and played, honestly, a fantastic game Sunday night. What was, I believe, a one-point deficit at the time of that timeout, the Magic came out and expanded the lead out to 10 by the end of the second quarter. By the third quarter, the game was essentially over, with the Magic leading by more than 20 points at one point. And while Brooklyn did sneak their way back into the game, both teams called their players off, and Orlando was able to cruise through the fourth quarter to a 13-point win. This was a game where the Magic had everything working. Their offense moved smoothly. They passed the ball with efficiency, 30 assists. They didn't need three-pointers because they lived in that paint. And they got essentially whatever they wanted offensively, which is smart passing and great poise. Defensively, outside of giving up too many offensive rebounds and too many second-chance points, the Magic dominated every Brooklyn player that wasn't Mikal Bridges. And even Mikal Bridges, I think, had a good night, obviously, with 44 points, but he had to work for his shots, too. This was, frankly, a masterclass for the Orlando Magic. This was, frankly, just a strong and solid game for Orlando. And one that they've been waiting for, one that they've been hoping for, one that they've been chasing after for a while. This was a great home win. This was just a good effort that had the Magic playing Magic basketball. And again, that's the point. We know that the play-in is a long shot. I've been saying that for a long time, even as I pushed to say, like, this is the goal. This is what you should be pushing for. Go for it. Even in failing that, you learn a lot about this team and you get all this experience. It's never been about making the play-in tournament. I want to stress that. It's about learning how to play to that standard. It's about learning how to play in these pressure games. And while, yes, the Magic have a sense of desperation about them and are a long shot, all of these games matter to the teams ahead of them. The only game the Magic will play the rest of the season that does not have playoff implications, at least as we sit today, is their game against the Detroit Pistons next Sunday. And that is a must-win game for the Magic, because the Magic will likely still be in the playoff, or the Magic could be eliminated by then, but the Magic very likely will be fighting for their postseason lives by next Sunday. Yeah, we're going to enter the last week of the season still mathematically possible to enter the postseason. I just want you to pause and reflect on that for a little bit. The Magic, though, have been spending and taking this time, not necessarily focusing on the play-in tournament, not necessarily focusing on what they need to do to reach the postseason this year. It's about what they will ultimately have to do next year. What they ultimately will have to do to make the postseason next year. To be the playoff team we know they are capable of, to meet the expectations that, yeah, people like me, and I'm not afraid to say this because I believe it, people like me are putting on them already. We expect next year to be a playoff year. And the Magic are using this time now to get ready for that. And that includes holding the team accountable, not to the score, but to their standard of play, to the way they want to play, to the things they have to do every single night to win games. To not fall victim to the ups or the downs, but to find that level and make that level as high as they can make it. As Chuck Daly used to say, water always finds its level. The Magic are learning to play to this standard. And to me, it's exciting and fantastic to hear that the team is playing, is thinking about these things, clearly. And clearly trying to be more than, do more than just win games. As important as winning games are. They're trying to learn how to be a better team moving forward. We're going to go through the final box score, talk about the Orlando Magic's 119-106 win over the Brooklyn Nets. We'll get to that coming up here in just a moment. But first, a quick word from our friends at Prize Picks. The NBA about to take center stage once again. The big battle between Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid takes place tonight. Settle your MVP debates after tonight, please. Rookie of the Year certainly already settled. And if you want to be the MVP of your day, you'll play Prize Picks. In Prize Picks, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they go on to score more or less than their Prize Picks projections, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch, including NBA, MLB with opening day on Thursday, NHL, PGA, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, esports, NASCAR, and a whole lot more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really that easy. They have safe and fast withdrawals. They're currently operational in more than 30 states, including here in Florida and Canada. Download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports today. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match of up to $100. All right, let's go through the final box scores. The Orlando Magic defeat the Brooklyn Nets 119-106 again. Like I said, this was a really impressive performance by Orlando. I mean, look, not without flaws. I'm not going to say it was a perfect A-plus performance. There are a lot of things that I think the Magic will have to clean up, especially now going on the road facing a tough Memphis team. They got Washington on Friday, and, you know, again, if the postseason still matters, that is every game's a must-win if the postseason still matters. If that mattered to you, that's great. That, you know, it matters to these guys. Just a really nice game against Brooklyn, a really solid game against Brooklyn, and I think they played their game plan really well. And again, aside from a few mistakes here and there, the Magic were scrappy. I mean, they gave up a ton of offensive rebounds, 15 offensive rebounds for 25 second chance points. But Orlando, I felt like, still scrapped really well to close out those second chance opportunities. So the effort, it has not been a question. And the Magic, I think, are after going through that swoon through the 2 weeks at the homestand and the West Coast trip, going 3-0 on this homestand was really fantastic. Team is starting to play a lot better basketball as they close the season. I think that's what we want to see. I'll go back and make the comparison to the 2006 team here later on this week, and talk a little bit about how that was a springboard for this team. But it's good. Young teams figuring out how to win, playing pressure basketball. It's good. Frankly, I think there's a reporter that asked this. I don't blame him. I think he was asking a fair question. There are a lot of fans that don't realize how important these games are and how much it's going to develop. Guys like Paolo, guys like Franz, guys like Markel, guys like Cole. It's going to help them really develop and know how to play in these pressure situations. Let's go into the box score, though, first. Let's start with Wendell Carter Jr. I thought Wendell played a fantastic game. 18 points, 7-for-9 shooting, 3-for-4 from the foul lines, only 6 rebounds. He did only play 25 minutes, did not need him that much. But it sure felt like every minute that Wendell Carter was in the game, he was impactful. Nick Claxton still had 9 rebounds, only 2 offensive rebounds, so the offensive rebounding issue wasn't necessarily his fault. But he did a great job really manning the interior on both ends. He was making shots. Like, I thought he just played a really, really strong game, just a really solid game up and down. The Magic knew they could turn to him, give him the ball, and he would make a good play. And look, Wendell, I'm excited to see where Wendell grows as the season ends and into the offseason. because I think it's very clear he can be a very, very good player in this league and do some very, very good things. He's been a connective tissue for this team all year long. I'm really excited to see what Wendell Carter does. Franz Wagner also had a nice game. 19 points, 6 for 11 shooting, 7 for 9 from the foul line, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. Franz was doing his Franz stuff, man. He was getting to the basket. He was finishing around the rim. He was drawing fouls. He was, you know, I still think I'd like to see him develop a little bit more of a mid-range game so he could, like, stop. And, you know, he doesn't have the quickest release, so a stop and pop mid-range probably may not be completely in his future. But just adding that Dirk step back again, just getting that back into his game, getting more comfortable with that, is going to help his drives out so much because he is basket or nothing, and he gets to the basket more often than not. That's the scary part. Like, it works. He doesn't have to do a whole lot more because what he does really works. And he was just on point throughout much of this game. I thought, Franz's defense, I don't think we talk enough about how good he is defensively. Just really solid defensively all around. Paolo Banchero had 11 points, kind of a slow game, 4 for 13 shooting, 9 rebounds for him, 4 assists. You know, I thought Paolo was fine, just missed shots, you know, kind of struggled a little bit with Dorian Finney-Smith on him and some of the size Brooklyn can throw at you. But, you know, he got himself going. He found ways to kind of get that grind going, especially in third quarter as Orlando expanded its lead. Gary Harris and Markelle Fultz, each with 10 points. Markelle Fultz having 9 assists. Markelle was just in command of the game, you know, not shooting particularly well. Did miss 3 threes. So again, I honestly, it's good Markelle's willing to take threes. I don't really want to hear that he's a reluctant three-point shooter. He will take threes. He will not make them, but he will take them. And I think this summer he'll probably develop into at least a 33% three-point shooter, which I think would be a humongous step for him. Or hopefully he can. Gary Harris hit a couple threes. Did some nice things defensively on Mikal Bridges. Got into some foul trouble. Mikal Bridges had 44 points, 13 for 22 shooting, 6 for 9 from deep, 12 for 12 from the line. Magic really couldn't do anything with him, but no one else really stepped up to help. Cam Thomas had 18 points, a lot of that coming in the fourth quarter. Spencer Dinwiddie missed all 11 of his shots. Cam Johnson had 10 points. The Magic just really dominated this game in a lot of ways. And outside of Mikal Bridges, really dominated defensively. So again, defensively, giving up 40.7% shooting, 8 for 35 from deep, six of those threes coming from Bridges. 24 for 28 from the foul line. The fouling was the issue. Offensive rebounds were the issue. But otherwise, the Magic really just locked down. And again, just a solid game. Let's get to the bench. Probably should have led with the bench because the bench was really good. Cole Anthony, 21 points, 8 for 13 shooting, 4 for 4 from deep, 6 rebounds, 5, 3 assists. I have been really in love with the way Cole's playing. I think that he's really figured out what his role is and is really comfortable with it. I mean, I think it took a little bit of an adjustment to coming off the bench and, you know, but once this team got rolling and once I think Anthony kind of found his spots with the group that he's playing with, he's just been just fantastic. Just lights out. He makes smart decisions. He's not forcing or rushing shots. He is just in rhythm too. And again, a lot of Cole's success is based on his ability to make shots. He's a scorer. That's how we judge him. He is scoring tons of points. He is scoring them efficiently. He's scoring them effectively. He isn't settling for threes. He isn't settling for contested or rush shots. He is just playing really, really good basketball. That's the really only way I can describe it. Honestly, even defensively, like, he is a pest. He is getting better defensively. Like, he's not perfect by any means. I'm sure he would admit that. But he competes on that end. And I just love the way that Cole Anthony has played. This has been by far the best season of his career. You know, the Magic have really kind of carved out a nice niche for him. And I think he's really embraced it. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. Jalen Suggs playing his first game back in 4 games after the concussion. Didn't miss a beat. 16 points, 6 for 9 shooting, 2 for 2 from beyond the arc, only 2 free throws. But just, again, hits his pull-up game, got his turnaround game going, got to the basket, you know, made both of his threes. Like, Suggs has figured stuff out. You know, I don't want to say he's completely figured it out. I don't want to say he's what we imagined he would be when we drafted him. But look, we know Jalen Suggs competes. We know he gets after defensively. Offensively, you believe he's going to make shots. And that's, you know, that's a long way. Like, he's come a long way on that front where, yeah, he's going to make shots. I'm not concerned about him making or missing shots. For the most part, I think he's going to make them now. Even tough little step backs, even tough little pull-up jumpers, he's just playing with a lot more calm. I love the way that Jamal Mosley described it. He's playing with much more poise. He knows the pace of the game a whole lot better now. And I think that that's, I think that that's such a big sign and a big point of growth. And, you know, it just goes to show, don't give up on young players. Let them have some time to figure out this league. Jalen Suggs has figured out what he's good at, where he needs to get better, and he started to get better at those things. And he, it's a credit to him how much more reliable he's become and how much better he's become. You know, he's not starting, but he's playing more minutes than Gary Harris. No offense to Gary Harris, who's, I think, had a decent season as well. Gary only played 18-20, had a little bit of foul trouble. Jalen played 23.5 minutes. So he is getting plenty of time. Maybe you want to see that increase. Maybe next year we will see Jalen Suggs in that starting lineup. But Suggs has taken some really nice steps, and I think that's really good. Mo Wagner with 12 points, 4-for-5 shooting. Typical Mo Wagner game. Just provided some good scoring, good energy. You know, whatever mistakes he made defensively, he makes up for it with effort. Just a really solid game from Mo Wagner. If you did not catch that number, the Magic had 8 players tying a franchise record. They did it earlier this year as well. 8 players in double figures. They shoot 52.9% from floor. Just 7-for-22 from beyond the arc. 22-for-28 from the foul line. So they do match Brooklyn there. Only 11 turnovers for 8 points. But the most important thing, 30 assists on 45 field goals. That is just fantastic. That doesn't even get into free throw assists. The Magic played a really strong game offensively. Again, you just look at the numbers. 21-10 fast break points in favor of the Magic. 58-38 points in the paint. That's a credit to the Magic's defense, as well as their ability to attack the basket. The Orlando Magic defeat the Brooklyn Nets 119-106. We're going to reset the postseason chase coming up here in just a moment. But first, a quick word from our friends at Built Bar. The Built March Madness bracket is here. We know you have a favorite bar or puff, and now is your time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. You know, I'll be voting for Cookies and Cream. I'm a big sucker for Cookies and Cream. And if you want the Cookies and Cream to win, then you'll be voting for that bar too. Support your team, support your bar or puff in the Built Bar March Madness bracket. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you'll be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built. Built, the best protein bar ever. That's in all caps in my copy. Seriously, they're so amazing. You won't think they're good for you. What makes Built bars and puffs so good? Well, they're high in protein, low in sugar, and covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. So run to Built March Madness. That's BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff. And pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. The Orlando Magic are still alive in the postseason chase. And you know, we've hit the point of the season where people are starting to debate whether it is worth the Magic to continue pursuing this. The answer is, if you know me, you know my answer. The answer is obviously yes. This is a young team. This isn't a veteran team. They are playing their players right now. As long as you are playing these young players are going to matter for this team moving forward, you need to be trying to win. Plain and simple, you need to be trying to win. I don't think that's super complicated. I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. These are the guys, Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner especially, are the guys that you're going to be carrying forward with as a playoff team starting next year. We're not talking about 2 years down the road, continue to develop. We are talking next year being a playoff team. Get ready for it this summer. The Magic are going to be everyone's dark horse pick to be a playoff team. Everyone's going to be jumping on the Magic bandwagon. And if you're jumping on early, hit that subscribe button. Welcome to the show. We're good people. We love everybody except for Raptors fans and Bulls fans and sometimes Rockets fans, mostly Lakers fans and also Heat fans. We like everybody else though. We're a happy bunch here in Orlando. We have the sunshine. That's about all we have. But the Magic are, like I said, the Magic aren't necessarily playing for this year right now. They're playing for future seasons. They're playing to help this roster grow into the team they want them to be sooner rather than later. But the reality is that, yes, the postseason is still a very remote thing. The Chicago Bulls are playing some fantastic basketball. They have caught the Toronto Raptors, essentially. They have essentially run away with the 10 seed in the Eastern Conference play-in race. The Washington Wizards are fading. The Indiana Pacers are struggling to make up the ground from their 2-16 run. The Magic have a 5-20 run. That's kind of what does their seasons in. The Bulls are starting to pull away. And again, they've caught the Raptors. It's better for the Magic if the Bulls stay in 10 than the Raptors because of tiebreakers. But it's getting late in the day here. As things stand today, the Orlando Magic are 4.5 games back of the Chicago Bulls with 7 games to play. I think it's 4.5. Yeah, because the Bulls played yesterday too. The Magic are 4.5 back of the Chicago Bulls with 7 games to play. The most wins the Magic can have is 39. The Bulls currently sit at 36. That makes the elimination number for the Magic 4 Magic losses or 4 Chicago Bulls wins. The Bulls are on the West Coast. They play the LA Clippers tonight, so that number could easily drop to 3 with how poorly the Clippers have been playing of late. The Magic are also the next team to be eliminated in the play-in tournament. And what's been interesting to see is as the Bulls have started to separate themselves a little bit, they're 7-3 in their last 10. As the Bulls have started to separate themselves a little bit from the rest of the pack, the rest of the pack started to come down to the Orlando Magic. As everyone's kind of looked at the kind of lottery standings, a lot of people said, like, why aren't the Magic tanking for Wemby? And I've been like, well, the Magic are still closer to the play-in tournament than they are to the lottery bunch. The Magic currently are 7.5 games ahead of Charlotte for 4th in the lottery standings. So Charlotte's sitting in 4th in the lottery standings. The Magic can't catch them, actually. The most wins Charlotte can have is 31. Charlotte is locked into the bottom 4. Orlando cannot fall farther than 5th in the lottery standings. So forget that. However, because the Magic have started playing so well, they're 5-5 in their last 10, which in this part of the standings, I guess, is enough to gain ground. The rest of the pack started to come down to them. Orlando is a half game ahead of Portland for 5th. So Portland could easily tie Orlando. There's a report coming out this weekend that the Blazers are considering shutting down Damian Lillard. They are 1 game back of Indiana and Washington. Obviously, they play Washington on Friday. That's going to be a major test to see whether how committed the Magic are to winning or how ready the Wizards are to shut their season down. Or it could just be 2 teams really fighting hard. Essentially, the Magic could right now finish anywhere in the lottery standings from 5th to probably 9th. I don't think they're going to catch Utah. Utah is 3.5 games ahead of the Magic at 35 wins. I don't think the Magic are getting that far. Chicago's pick as well has dropped to 11th because they've played so well. They're 36-38. They're a half game ahead of Dallas for 10th. Half game behind the Lakers, which will become New Orleans, for 12th. So that is your update on the Magic's lottery situation. There are obviously a lot of fans that think the lottery is the salvation, and that's fine. I get it. The Magic though aren't about that anymore. I just want to make that clear. Like, the Magic are done playing the lottery. The lottery is not their goal. They will get a good player in this draft. They will get 2 potentially good players in this draft. They may lose out on Amen or Asar Thompson. They may lose out on, honestly, on like a Jairus Walker, but I don't know if those are the guys the Magic really want anyway. You know, honestly, like, they need skilled players. They need shooters, and you're more likely to get those, or you're more comfortable to get those where the Magic are currently drafted. Indeed, I think that the Magic's goal this season was to, again, level up. And they've done that. They've leveled up out of the basement. They've leveled up out of the lottery cellar. And they are in a situation where they are trying to win games, where they are trying to advance to the next tier, to that play-in tier. I honestly think that they've done that. And except for a 5-20 start, they are put themselves in a great spot to be a postseason team next year. Whether it's playoffs, whether it's play-in, that part matters a little bit, but the Magic know that they can do a whole lot better and know that they will continue to develop and continue to grow. The reality is the Magic are not playing for the standings this year again. They are playing to be better in the future. They're playing for this group to be better in the future, not to set themselves up for a strong lottery ticket. They're playing to set themselves up for the greater future ahead. And I think they've done that. And so, yes, play-in hopes are slim. Yes, by doing this, the Magic have jeopardized some of their lottery chances. But that's not what's important. What's important is what's happening on the floor. How we're seeing a team consistently win close games, consistently play well when the pressure is the highest, consistently perform now when they are in must-win situations, when teams are as desperate as they are to get wins. Those are all really good things, and I don't think we should lose sight of that as the season concludes. I want to thank you again for listening to today's episode of Locked On Magic. Of course, find me on Twitter at @PhilipRR_OMD. Subscribe to the podcast and Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Himalaya, Google Play, Spotify, Odyssey, and all the fun places and all the podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device. For the latest on the Orlando Magic, be sure to check out OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Of course, follow me on Twitter there at @OMagicDaily. Now that you're done listening to us, be sure to check out the Locked On Game to Game NBA podcast. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available in the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. That's good to do for me today, though. I want to thank you all again for listening to today's episode of Locked On Magic. For Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic, this has been Philip Rossman-Reich. We'll see you all again next time for another episode of Locked On Magic.